Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
$1,000 right here on 929 FM ESPN. Again, this hour's word is ribs, R-I-B-S. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I'll have another code word for you at 3 o'clock. One more time, this hour's word is ribs, R-I-B-S. Text that word right now, 72881 for your chance to win. Good luck.
It's 2 p.m. in Memphis. Giannotto and Jeffrey time. Get off the fence.
Get off the fence!
Mark Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal, along with Jeffrey Wright.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis's direct-hitting radio show.
The fruitful land in the world.
Giannotto and Jeffrey. Live on Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah! Let's do it. Happy Wednesday to you, wherever you may be. As the introduction suggests, you are listening to Giannotto and Jeffrey. As the introduction also suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. My partner in crime is, of course, Mark Giannotto, the Commercial Appeal's lead sports columnist, at MGiannotto on Twitter for Mark. Producer of the program, of course, is Connor Dunning, at CDunning929 on Twitter. Gentlemen, good day.
Good day to you, sir.
How are you?
Fired up, man. You know, you got the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame going to be introduced. We'll discuss that shortly. Also, coming up next segment, Seth Greenberg, of course, former coach of Virginia Tech, now ESPN analyst for college basketball. He is going to join the program. We're going to keep the normal Wednesday schedule if you're used to the 2 to 4 show here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Bill Bender's going to join us at the top of the second hour, as well as Kevin Pelton. We'll get into some college football and more with Bill at 3. We'll get into the NBA playoffs. We'll get into Kevin Durant's future and more with KP when he joins us, and then we will...
And Marc Gasol's resurgence.
And Marc Gasol's resurgence. And the Toronto Raptors looking like the NBA champions last night.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Well, I mean, but for one game. I mean, that's obvious. That's exactly where we are. But let's get into it. The Memphis Sports Hall of Fame has introduced its very first class. Mark, do you have the names in front of you?
I have the names in front of me.
All right.
It's a lot of them. So are we ready?
I believe the first class is 22 names, correct?
22 people, yes.
Okay.
Let's go through the most notable names. Larry Finch and Ronnie Robinson.
Okay.
The two Memphis State teammates go in together in the first class. Penny Hardaway.
Who?
Also in the first class, not as a coach, as a basketball player, I believe.
More on that in a minute.
Then you've got on the Memphis football side, Isaac Bruce, very worthy name. Claude Humphrey. Let's see.
Keith Lee, obviously.
I forgot. Keith Lee, basketball-wise, also Memphis basketball-wise, Keith Lee. Let's just go through. I'll just go through the list. It's so many. Betty Booker Parks. Memphis State basketball player, women's basketball player, still the school's all-time leading scorer in women's basketball. Isaac Bruce, like I said, obviously a great
this
wide receiver.
This is one of my favorite names.
Bill Dance.
Woo-hoo! Yes!
Bass fishing superstar.
Woo!
Yes. Yes, we got a fisherman in there.
One of the best internet conspiracies ever is that the internet used to say that Bill only fished in loaded ponds. You have never seen people just go berserk quite like that.
All right. William Donovan, obviously Billy Donovan. He helped build start the Racquet Club, which is since just closed.
Big thing with Billy Donovan is Billy has a lot of money, but he's also invested. He was big bringing the showboats and whatnot.
The showboats.
About half the buildings over at my high school are named after him.
Larry Finch, like you mentioned, obviously the undoubtable. I guess Larry Finch. He was an obvious one for this first class.
That was a free space.
Yeah. Averyn Fogelman.
Yes.
A big-time contributor, prominent businessman, real estate developer, owned a bunch of different franchises here in Memphis. Also a big big benefactor at Tulane.
Yeah, there you go.
New Orleans. Penny, like we mentioned, Penny Hardaway. Claude Humphrey, like we mentioned. Jerry Johnson, who just celebrated his 100th birthday last year. The only coach to lead a Memphis college basketball team to a national championship, I believe, at Lemoyne Owen. George Lapidus, the longtime radio host.
I believe he is the only media member.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, if you were going to put in a media member, it had to be a Memphis Press Seminar.
If George doesn't exist, you and I aren't doing this.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, he basically invented the format in this city.
Yeah. Keith Lee, obviously Memphis State's all-time leading scorer and rebounder. Verdell Mathis, considered by many baseball historians to be the best left-handed pitcher in the Negro Leagues. This is why this whole endeavor is pretty cool. Like, I didn't really know who Verdell Mathis was.
Correct.
And, like, that's what these Hall of Fames are about, is, like, you know, learning. They help you learn the history, you know, because there's more to this history than this sporting scene here in Memphis.
Oh, 100%.
And the Grizzlies and the Tigers and, you know, so on the baseball note, Tim McCarver.
Yes.
Former star at Christian Brothers, obviously won a couple World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals and was a big-time baseball broadcaster.
And Bob Gibson said the only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it, so get back there. Told him to get back behind the plate.
Nikki McCray, I guess her last name, she's married now, Penson.
Correct.
From Collierville. Great women's basketball player at UT, Olympic gold medalist, big-time WNBA player. Carrie Middlecoff, probably the best golfer from Memphis.
Definitely the best golfer. I mean, Rachel Heck has an opportunity to put her name in that category, but the most, and she's obviously got her entire career in front of her, but yes, Carrie Middlecoff's the greatest golfer.
Yeah, won 3 majors. Cindy Parlow.
Former student of Alice Wright.
Yeah, gold medalist.
That's my mom, Mark.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, didn't know that. Great soccer player. World Cup champion.
Yes.
So no-brainer there. Ronnie Robinson, like we mentioned, Larry Finch's teammate, part of that great team that went to the Final Four and went to the championship game in 73. Verdi Sales, coached at Melrose, coached at Memphis State as an assistant, then coached at Southwest Tennessee Community College. There's a building named after him over in Orange Mound, the community center there. Great, great, great coach. Melanie Smith Taylor, a horse rider, another one I didn't really know about, but a great equestrian athlete, if you will, rode horses. Fred Smith, CEO of FedEx.
Glad to see Fred get another honor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, FedEx sponsors a lot of different sporting events in this town. And
if it weren't for that company, we would, I don't know if the city would exist.
Yeah. So Fred Smith's in it. Rochelle Stevens.
Also an owl, by the way.
Another Olympic gold medalist, track and field athlete. Memphis Bill Terry won a World Series in 1933. Again, another one I didn't really know about because I only moved here a couple years ago. Another instructive one. He's the last one. So those are 22. It's going to be, honestly, if they can get the living folks on this list to attend the induction ceremony, it's going to be a pretty star-studded induction ceremony. We should remind you, this Memphis Sports Hall of Fame is put on by the Memphis Sports Council, Memphis Board of Tourism, I'm probably saying Memphis Travel, whatever it is.
Whatever used to be the Conventions Bureau.
Yeah, but it's going to be on the third floor of AutoZone Park, and it's pretty cool. I remember when they announced this, I was surprised the city of Memphis didn't have a Hall of Fame already.
That was my first thought, because Kevin Kane, I can't remember if he came on to talk about it on Jeff's show or if he talked about it on this show with me and Connor, but it was the first thought. Like, I grew up here. Like, it never occurred to me we don't have a Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. And then, you know, he was laying out the vision for it. He's like, we really kind of need one of these. And so I think he's 100% right. Okay, I got to ask you this question then. So the first class has 22 people. It seems to stand to reason that every class is not going to be 22 people.
Yes.
How do you feel about opening the exhibit because you're essentially starting a Hall of Fame from nothing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about having the huge first class to essentially make sure that you now have given people more incentive to go?
I think that's part of it. I think you want to make sure the first class is indicative of the entire Memphis sports scene. I think they've done a good job with that. You've got track and field. You've got fishing. You've got, you know, horseback riding. You've got soccer. You've got golf. You've got men. You've got women. You've got black. You've got white. It's a very diverse list of people, and I think that's what you need for the first one, just because you want this first one to encompass everything that Memphis sports is about, and it's more than just basketball or football or baseball. It's, you know, this is a diverse sporting community, and so, you know, like, for instance, there's no Grizzlies on this list.
Correct.
It sounds like, you know, you have to be 5 years removed.
Correct.
From your
I believe
playing
that was
career.
Yes.
To get on there, so
I think you have to be 5 years removed from the career that you would be considered for. So therefore, Penny Hardaway could go in as a player because he's been more than 5 years removed from his playing days, but he won't go in as a coach until within 5 years after his coaching career ends.
I'm curious how popular this will be. Like, you know, because will people go on their free time? Will they just go when they go to a Redbirds or a Memphis 901 FC game? I'm curious how popular just this exhibit will be, or whether it will just be, you know, like, for instance, where I came from in D.C., like, they have a D.C. Sports Hall of Fame, but it's really just an event once a year for the induction ceremony. It's not, like, actually something people go and visit.
That's also a problem, though, in D.C. There's other museums and exhibits
There's other museums here.
Right, but we don't have the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I guess.
Or the National Gallery. There's
literally not a physical museum. It's just like a...
Yes, it is an exhibit at AutoZone Park.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking in D.C. There's not even like an exhibit or anything.
It's
just like an event.
Like a red carpet event that they would put at whatever their equivalent of the Brooks is.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's not actually a museum. So that's what's cool about this. And hopefully, you know, I suspect they'll do a good job at, you know, putting up a exhibit that, you know, teaches people. That's what, you know, that to me, like when I was just reading that, just I want to know more about Bill Dance. I want to know more about some of these other people on there who I didn't really know about. So that's what this is about to me. It's not about like Penny Hardaway. Like, we know about Penny Hardaway, and obviously he's a great choice for this first class. It's about the other people who now a new generation of Memphians will get to learn about. And, you know, obviously some people knew them, but more people will know them now because of this Hall of Fame.
You know what I need in this exhibit? I need the, for idiots only, I need the interactive touchscreen guides that just show me, like, pictures and video and stuff, because not really a great reader. But, yes, your way of learning.
Well, if it would be, like, highlights and stuff, that'd be pretty cool if they, you know, like, you can go punch up, you know, Penny Hardaway's greatest moments, or Cindy Parlow's greatest goals, or, you know, something, highlights from Carrie, you know, I don't know if there's such a thing, but highlights of, like, Carrie Middlecoff winning golf majors and things like that. Like, that would be a pretty cool part of this.
I haven't looked. So the Masters has now loaded up the final round of every televised coverage that they've had. I've not looked up to see if Middlecoff's, because obviously at a certain point, they don't have the archive of the television broadcast. And in some of the Masters, there wasn't a television broadcast, but that would be cool to see if you had highlights of everyone's career. Like, I don't know about you, but I need the Bill Dance highlight show of just grabbing that bass. Like, I need air in my lungs.
Like him, like,
yeah,
tugging
just
on the line.
One.
Yeah.
Reel it in.
Reel it in.
Keep your feet low. Lock to the ground.
Sounds like you need to go to, like, the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. That's what you want to do. Go to.
I hope it's in Branson.
Have you seen the video of him falling out of the boat?
Yep, that doesn't exist in my mind.
There is a compilation.
That video
YouTube
does not exist
of
in
him
my
just
mind.
Falling out of the boat. And
no,
it's,
no, never happened.
Oh my God.
No, never. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh man, who do you think's next? Like, who do you think's missing?
Well, so no, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't immediately ask, well, who were the snubs?
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing we have to do.
Yeah, you've been here your whole life. Who are the snubs in your mind?
The problem is, because it's such a huge list, like, Matt Cain's not eligible. I think Matt Cain should clearly go in.
Mm-hmm. Lionel Hollins will probably get in at some point.
D'Angelo's not eligible.
Is he? I guess that's right.
Because, right, yeah. D'Angelo's first year out of football was last year, correct?
Yeah.
So I do need a little clarification. Is it 5 years removed from,
like, being in Memphis?
Right.
Like your Memphis connection?
Or is it 5 years after your playing career?
I'm not positive.
And then what do we do if D'Angelo goes the pro wrestling route? Are we then going to have to wait till he retires as a 15-time world champion?
Are pro wrestlers eligible? That's a good question.
So I think there was a big consensus. There was a big question of what to do with Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally would put Lawler in.
We had this issue when I had to put together last summer a Mount Rushmore of Memphis sports.
Correct.
Lawler very clearly was one of the top four vote-getters, and my editors were pretty adamant that, no, he cannot go on the Memphis sports Mount Rushmore because it's sports entertainment, not sports. And I got criticized for that, even though I wanted to put him on. But I got, people that make more money than me overruled me.
See, because this is my problem. Anytime, and it doesn't happen as often in Memphis because most people in Memphis do have at least some affinity one way or the other of pro wrestling because it was a part of their childhood. Like, there's not the immediate, bad taste in your mouth spitting at and just purely dismissing pro wrestling in Memphis like there is elsewhere I've been. But I really, when people want to do the, I don't know, man. It's like, well, we know boxing matches have been fixed. Everyone's going to put a boxer on there. And I always want to take them to a WWE event and make them sit front and center and watch what those guys do and tell me that that's not putting your body on the line every night.
Well, here's another question for you.
All right.
Which current athletes on the Memphis sports scene will eventually get in this Hall of Fame? I think...
Well, Wiseman feels like a free space to me.
You think Wiseman, for sure? Like, I think he's got a...
I think he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, you're probably right. He'll get in eventually. Conley's going to get in.
Mark's going to get in. Zebo's. The core four are all getting in.
Core four is going to get in.
Mike Miller?
Yeah.
Mike Miller? You think Mike Miller?
Definitely.
Okay.
Still, I believe, has the single game scoring record.
Do you think Powell makes it in?
Maybe if it's like a slow year, then,
Powell should make it in. He won't. Yeah. If you told him, he should.
Hubie Brown?
He definitely should. Hubie's still my all-time favorite basketball coach.
Hubie Brown will probably get in eventually, maybe.
Paxton Lynch?
Yeah, well, Anthony Miller will get in, I think, at some point.
Anthony, I think, will get in.
Anthony Miller will get in.
I think Anthony's going to have a 10-plus year.
How long does Mike Norvell have to stay at Memphis to get in?
See, that's a good question, though. What would you do with a guy like Justin Fuente? Because at a certain point, I do think you deserve some credit for trailblazing and for showing others that, hey, it can be done here.
Like, does Daryl Henderson merit consideration?
I think Daryl will get in.
You think he'll get in?
Yes.
Okay. You don't think it depends on how his pro career goes?
No. I think Daryl will get in.
Well, Goskowski will get in eventually.
Yes.
Once he retires.
That seems fair.
I'm just going down the list of different people from Memphis.
Jay Will?
I think Jay Will's going to be tougher.
Jay Will will be tougher.
No, I don't think. I think I would say no. He's Hall of Very Good in Memphis, not Hall of Fame.
Battier?
Maybe.
Depends if we need a new GM in, 2 years.
Chris Wallace?
They would burn it down before his,
what would
his
be the,
back went
who
in.
Would be, the greatest troll one to put in? If I were on the
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler's too. You need it. You need it to be someone. No, you need it to be someone that... Like, Chandler, obviously, but, you can't even sell Chandler. It's got to be someone that I can sell in the meeting that would just light people on fire.
Ooh, let's see. Like Chris Paul.
Blake Griffin.
Like a villain's. Like,
yeah.
A villain's, like,
no,
wing.
But, it has to be, someone that would fit the criteria that they've laid out, yet basically it's someone,
like
someone that has the...
Tubby Smith. Boom.
Oh. Yes, and coincide it. Whenever Tubby gets into the Naismith Hall of Fame, coincide it with his getting into... Yes, that's the perfect answer. Yes, Tubby. That's the perfect answer. And when he gets into the Naismith Hall of Fame, and be like, that would be great for him to be in the Naismith Hall of Fame and not the Memphis Hall of Fame.
What do you mean, great? It's going to be a reality, right?
Yeah, but it also makes perfect sense. Like, yeah. it's it's justified that he would get in the Naismith Hall of Fame. Like, that makes, look at his career, you can't really argue against that. Man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But based on his time in Memphis, he 100% does not deserve to be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Does Cal get in?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's the better one.
He deserves to.
I think he does, too.
He deserves to. Like, who from those teams get in? Like, I would think Chris Douglas Roberts merits.
Yeah.
Time out.
CDR.
Maybe the whole, whatever, Supreme Bay.
Time out, Tom. We need to get back to this. I have never needed anything in my life like I need a live stream with Calkins in that committee when they put up John Calipari.
I think Calkins, as much as him and Cal did not see eye to eye, I think Calkins knows. I mean, Cal made a huge imprint and impact on this sporting on Memphis sports. And I know the way he left, but by the time he would go into the Hall of Fame.
Remember when they tried to have that dinner honoring?
Yeah, but that was too soon. It was too soon. Like, I'm talking, like, by the time he's, like, let's say he's done at Kentucky in 10 years from now.
Okay.
Which means 15 years from now is when he would go into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. Like, that's a long time since, like, a
Ooh,
lot.
Will they both be alive?
What we should have, Calkins should have to induct him.
Oh, my God. You just, like, I don't think I've ever been happier at an idea. Oh.
Well, you should go check out commercialappeal.com. Jason Munns has a story if you want to learn more about all 22. I listed them out at the beginning of the segment, but commercialappeal.com. Jason Munns has a story up. You should go give it a read, see who got in, and maybe send us some tweets, send us some feedback on who you think should be in the future or got snubbed in this inaugural class.
Seth Greenberg, of course, is a college basketball analyst for ESPN. Last spring, when Penny Hardaway was hired, you may remember he had some comments about expecting Penny Hardaway to recruit well here in the city and recruit well regionally, did not expect him to have success on the national level. We're going to ask him if he has changed his opinion when we come back. Also get his thoughts, RJ Barrett, John Morant, and much, much more. Stick around. You're listening to Gian Otto and Jeffrey right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis has been celebrating all month and enjoying everything that makes this city special. We just welcome the whole world into our backyard to cook out, but now it's time for us to grill up a Memphis original. So we're kicking off grilling season with Memorial Day weekend, and this is Gary Parrish telling you nothing sets you up for the perfect party like a fresh, hand-cut steak from Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop. You know Folks Folly, right? The original Memphis Steakhouse? They serve incredible steaks every night, but what you might not realize is that you can have those very same steaks in your own backyard, as well as their ground sirloin, crab legs, lamb chops, sandwiches, pimento cheese, fresh vegetables, everything you could possibly want for a delicious cookout with friends and family. It's all at Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop right next door to Folks Folly. And it's so good, in fact, that Humphrey's staff is going to take off Memorial Day so they can enjoy it as well. So you need to take some time before the holiday to stop by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop at 551 South Mendenhall. It's the same address as Folks Folly. Or you can order online at humphreysmemphis.com to get everything you need to grill like a legend.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. An accident takes seconds to occur. Then what should take a great deal of time and research sometimes only takes a day. What lawyer should I hire? Sometimes the firm you hire does many things: bankruptcy, immigration, criminal defense, right there on their website. Would you hire a pediatrician to do your heart surgery? Of course not. This will be a life-changing decision, and all lawyers are not the same, not even close. Our firm is an open book. You know us by over 30 years of reputation. If you want to know what a case like yours may be worth, visit ForThePeople.com and look at the offers made and verdicts returned by juries for cases like yours. Hundreds of them. The proof is in the pudding. Your lawyer may have never been to court, or rarely. And listen, just because you hired the wrong firm in a rush days after your accident doesn't mean you can't fire them before it's too late. Look before you leap. There is only one Morgan & Morgan. On your cell phone, dial pound law, pound 529, pound law, that's all.
Season tickets for the 2019 Memphis Tigers football season are on sale now and start at $100 when you buy four in the Family Fun Zone and $150 for end zone seats. The six-game home schedule is highlighted with matchups against regional foe Ole Miss, plus AAC rivals Cincinnati and Navy. A season ticket includes the same great seat for all six home games, plus priority options to buy single-game tickets, bowl tickets, and more. Be part of the incredible game day experience and get your seats today at GoTigersGo.com or call 901-678-2331. Stripe up.
Get to know the number one auto and home insurer in Tennessee, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle. And the reason my name is on the sign is because of my talented team inside. Call us, 901-767-7744. We're all better looking than a lizard.
The Live Love Memphis Group is the official realtor of the Memphis Grizzlies. They've sold over 1,100 houses in 10 years.
And now she's sold mine, John. The website is livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. The person I asked for is Jennifer Carstensen. She took care of me. She's going to take care of you, too.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome five cheese mac and cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Hi, I'm Paul. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Another wireless ad. I know how you feel. And it seems like they're always full of this complicated, tricky language about their networks and offers and blah, blah, blah. Well, Sprint is going to do things differently and let you decide for yourself with their new 100% total satisfaction guarantee. Try it for 30 days, love it, or your money back. See? Simple. Now get both Sprint's unlimited plan and the all-new Samsung Galaxy S10 included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. So switch now. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today.
30-day guarantee with new line of service. S10 128GB, $15 a month after $22.50 a month credit for 18 months credit applied within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 6:30:20, pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee and restrictions apply.
Giannotto and Jeffrey phone guests appear on the Landers Nissan phone line. Now, back to Giannotto and Jeffrey. Mark Giannotto,
lead columnist from the Commercial Appeal,
and 92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Seth Greenberg is the former head coach, of course, of Long Beach State, South Florida, Virginia Tech. You can now find him on ESPN. Analyzing all things college basketball. Seth, let's start first here with you. Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett? Who's the right pick at 2 for the Grizz?
I think Ja Morant, because depending on what they're going to do with Conley, he's a point guard. I mean, he's the point guard of the future. He's got incredible vision, speed, lift, feel, unbelievable high-character kid. Has a chance to be a very good defender because of his length. Look, you can't go wrong with either guy. R.J. Barrett's going to be kind of a poor man's DeMar DeRozan, guy that kind of slithers in, has a middle game, can finish around the basket, doesn't have as good a vision. Morant's got a chance to be really, really special, kind of a little bit of Rondo, a little bit of Russell Westbrook in his game. Very, very good feel, and a great kid.
Seth, that's music to Memphis fans' ears. I think everyone's fallen in love with Ja Morant here. How are you, by the way? I haven't talked to you in a while.
How are you? How am I? I mean, I used to just try to get a free meal in the cafeteria at Virginia Tech.
And, I know, we've come a long way from chalk talk.
The lead into your show, and I mean, like, your name's up in lights. I mean, you're out of control.
Yeah, well, both of us have gone on to bigger and better things since those days in Blacksburg.
I don't know about that.
So,
how about you guys start with the softball so you could kind of throw a couple of curves at my head?
Okay. Well, Coach, because Mark's not the radio professional, just a little peek behind the glass, I always bring it out, and I'm not tossing up that question. I don't need you. You appear to be a big, strong man, and I am neither one of those things.
All right, well, let's just get right to it.
I'm a little disappointed it took us this long.
Yeah, well, we wanted to
Coach. That one's on me.
Let's talk Penny Hardaway. And yesterday, Penny had his big press conference to sort of announce his recruiting class. And there's a quote floating around from you that it looks like it's from the day he was hired. And let's be fair, you do a lot of live TV, you say a lot of things, and I don't think you were necessarily off base saying this in the moment. But here's the quote, and I want you to react to it now that we know Penny just got the number one recruiting class in the country. This is your quote. The Memphis kids, that's an easy sell. He is Memphis basketball. This is Seth Greenberg talking about Penny Hardaway.
One for one.
I don't think he'll be a national recruiter. I think he's going to recruit within the state. My gut feeling is Penny Hardaway, outside of the state of Tennessee and outside of Memphis, he's not beating Kentucky. He's not beating Kansas. He's not beating Duke. In Memphis, he's beating them all. Well, he beat them all in Memphis. You were right about that. But he got a Duke decommit and he got a Kentucky decommit in this first class.
Kentucky decommit was one of his own guys.
That's true.
Duke decommit, there's a reason that he decommitted from Duke, is because Duke recruited over him. Now, having said that, look, Penny's done an incredible job. And not only has he done an incredible job recruiting, but he's got the attention of his team. I mean, they play hard. They play confidently. Again, I'm not going to critique their shot selection at times. I think he tried to empower them. And, you know, basically in year one, you try to create a style of play that you can recruit to. You try to create a vision of what you want your program to look like. And I think he was able to do that. I think he put together a very good staff. I was surprised that Sam left because I think Sam is really, really just good people, connects with people, connects with parents, connects with families, had a connection to, you know, grassroots basketball, and, just a really good guy. But Mike Miller was recruited at the very highest level. And, look, he's got a very good staff, and he works really hard at it. And to his credit, we have not had a ton of former players that have jumped in and crushed it like he has. And, all the credit to him and his staff and how hard they've worked and bringing back the vision of what Memphis was when he was there. But he does have to build a fence around maybe the state, but most importantly, Memphis. And quite honestly, if you look at the best players that they were able to get commitments from, the best players, he had a connection with every single one of those guys. The difference makers in that class, to me, and I'm not as high on Precious as other people, even though I think he plays really hard. He's not as skilled, but look, he's done an absolutely fabulous job, and the community has gotten behind him, and he's brought an energy, and he's passionate about coaching, he's passionate about what he's doing, and I'm happy for him.
You've been around John Calipari's Kentucky teams a lot since you got to ESPN, and he's had rosters like this where there's a lot of talent and a lot of guys you've got to
keep
happy and keep their egos in check. How do you do that as a coach? How do you get these guys to swallow their ego for the betterment of the team when you've got so many high profile guys coming in?
Well, first and foremost, you get what you earn. I think the most important thing is, I think one thing about John is, he doesn't hand out anything. I mean, if you're not playing well, you're not going to play. I mean, and what it does is it creates a tremendous amount of peer pressure to be in the gym, to work on your game, to do stuff away from practice that kind of drives you to get you where you want to go. You've got to have real honest relationships with the guys, and you've got to explain to them. And then Cal's line is, we win, everyone eats. You can't have five leading scorers. You're not going to shoot the same number of threes this year that you shot last year. You have more weapons and more guys to play through. You're going to have to make sure, we're going to run, we're going to press, we're going to try to create offense over our defense. First and foremost, his goal, we got to play really hard. Because the hardest playing toughest team is going to find a way to win no matter how talented you are. So the first thing he's going to have to do is redefine playing hard for everyone. All right, then the next thing he's going to have to do is get these guys to really believe and trust in each other. The returning guys and the group that's coming back, that's going to be the trick. Because the returning guys all bought into the same vision. The returning guys all kind of, the thing about recruiting today, and Mark, you know about it because you follow it pretty closely, and especially when I know when you're in D.C., these guys communicate. These guys recruit each other. You get one guy, and he becomes the linchpin, and all of a sudden – then guys want to play with him, whether it's Wiseman or whomever. And that's what they were able to do. But now the guys that are there, their roles, the guys that were getting up shots, their roles all change.
Mm-hmm.
And how to get the guys that were there to buy into the new guys coming in and getting everyone not to have a jealousy, to have a trust, to understand that, we are going to be a little bit different. And there are different guys that are going to have to get touches. And we have talented players across the board. We don't need 17 threes from one guy or volume shooting from one guy. Because you know what? The guy that needs to be a volume shooter is Wiseman.
Talking, of course, with – beg your pardon. Sorry, Coach. Talking,
yeah,
of course,
so,
with
– I mean, that's going to be the challenge for Penny, and he's going to have to get them to trust each other.
Talking, of course, with Seth Greenberg of ESPN, former head coach at Long Beach State, as well as South Florida and Virginia Tech. I wanted to ask you, though, because along the same lines, John Calipari has an established brand, and it's known that he's going to bring in the top-level guys, and there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. And there's the idea that it's just understood that, you know, guys have to buy in, because if you want to play for him, you have to buy in. How difficult will it be for Penny, because this is really the first time doing this and getting everyone to buy in?
I think it'll be difficult, but I mean, the dude has his own sneaker.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's Penny Hardaway in Memphis. Who's going to second guess Penny Hardaway in Memphis of those kids? Now he doesn't have to worry about the players. He's going to have to worry about the parents.
There you go.
Your point.
Because the players are going to buy in. But I'll tell you one thing: those people in the stands, when their kid's not getting the number of shots that they want him to get, or his role's not exactly, or someone else is being talked about more, or they think it's potentially a guy who thinks he's going to be a one and done, is going to impact where he's going to be drafted or how he's being perceived. The circle of influence and controlling the circle of influence around each player will be as important as anything they do in terms of their whole season next year. Because the static that guys get away from the court, on the court, the kid's going to be fine, and he's going to coach them every day, and he's going to be around them, and he's going to talk about it. But there are voices away from the court that potentially are team killers, and managing that is going to be the challenge for him. But you know, he's got a point of reference from the great teams he played for when he was in the NBA, and the great team he played for when he was in Memphis.
As a coach, do you have a sense of, like, for instance, I don't really think it's a whole lot different than if you're coaching, you know, competitive 12-year-old baseball or basketball, whatnot. You kind of know which parents might want to have a quick chit-chat with you after the game. In college, is it any different? Do you know, okay, this...
That's the role of the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
So my role, Mark, you were around us. I didn't deal with parents after games. Mm-hmm. I would deal, 'cause I didn't deal with parents about playing time. I didn't deal with parents about roles. What I did was, if you want to talk about academics, socially, and other things, that's fine. But right after a game, that's the worst time in the world to ever talk to a parent, because, you know, they're only seeing their child.
Yeah.
And it's just really difficult. But, you know, like I say, he's got an experienced staff. You know, there's going to be great enthusiasm and energy around the program. It does take a while to figure it out, though, because there's just – look, I mean, they've got 10 guys that can play. Now, the way they play, they're going to press, and they're going to extend their defense, they're going to try to play fast. That will help. But there'll be a point in the season where they might...
You don't see many 10 road... You don't see many and great, you know, teams that go the distance or go to the second weekend or the Final Four with 10, 11-man rotations. You just don't see it.
Yeah, Florida State's done a great job with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't gotten to the point where they're Final Four. Florida State, no one does a better job of balancing a roster, but he doesn't have a roster that with the accolades that this roster has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like Leonard Hamilton's a master at getting guys to play for each other. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, those guys weren't McDonald's All-Americans. They weren't top 50 guys. They weren't top 25 guys. They, you know, mm-hmm. They don't have three guys in their own backyard. They don't have guys that, you know, he's got, what, six guys he's coached?
Yeah, something like that. He's got seven new guys coming in. Yeah, six.
Harris, Lomax, Wiseman, Jeffries. I don't think he coached Damian, correct?
Well, how about the group that's returning?
Yeah, we mentioned Tyler. Yeah, right, no, you're right.
And then Maurice. So, yeah, I think you're right about seven.
And you know, I mean, like I had Daryl Faulkner played for me. He was a Memphis kid. He used to say, you know, Memphis is like Baltimore back in the day. I mean, like Memphis is a state.
Yeah.
And the one thing, and I think it's a great thing, is the Memphis pride and the Memphis families take great pride in, obviously, basketball and their kids' success. And, you know, it's good. There's always a challenge. I mean, developing a team chemistry is so difficult, and it's so fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that Penny has going for him is he's Penny Hardaway, and you're not. And you know what? He is, like I said in that, it's funny. I got a lot of grief for what I said, but I said he is Memphis basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right? I said he will get every great player in Memphis. And you know what? One of those guys was already committed to Kentucky, and he got him. And you know what? There was a Memphis kid that was committed to Wichita State, and he got him to turn his commitment. So, you know, I was pretty on the money. They've done a great job, and you know, with his staff, has done a great job recruiting nationally, and his name obviously is extremely powerful. And now, you know, the thing is, the one thing when you recruit one and done, you got to do it again all over again.
Yeah, no, it'll be fascinating to see, you know, like a guy like Precious, a guy like James Wiseman. Yeah, to me, when you recruit guys like that, then you've got to make sure, for instance, their draft stock either improves or stays the same, or other coaches are going to use that against you when you go out recruiting more of them.
Yeah, that'll be a year from now. But I mean, yeah. You know, they've got to take those great players, and then they got to win at the very highest level. And like I loved what he said. I read a quote of what he said. This is what we want: an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the great thing. If you're going to bust your tail and you're going to recruit good players, you want to expect. Now, expectation is one thing. Yeah, but then, you know, obviously there's a difference between potential and productivity. So now you've got the potential. Now you've got to turn that into a winning culture. You got to turn that into a team trust. You got responsibility, and you know, you got to find out what's going to happen the first time they face adversity. Because every team, like you think about Cal's teams, he's always reinventing his team. His team, you don't know who they are until the first week of February.
I'm going to be honest, Seth. I'm getting some tweets that feel you're not giving Penny enough credit.
What am I supposed to do?
I don't agree with them, but I just wanted to let you know.
Hey, you know what? You think I'm going to lose any sleep over that?
How good do you think they can be?
The Final Four. He came on our radio show. We were great.
Yeah, how good do you think? I mean, how good potentially do you think this team can be? I know it's tough to with so many new faces coming in, but it seems like they're going to be a top 10 preseason team with this roster.
Yeah, look, their talent is one thing. He's going to have to defend consistently and have a little discipline defensively. They're going to have to share the ball, and they're going to have to play hard consistently. And they're going to, you know, people are going to try to do different things to slow them down. And, you know, I know they're going to play a great schedule. They have a chance to be good, but as good as John Calipari's great recruiting classes were, all right, it takes time to get that type of team to get to the point where they can really defend. They're in the right spot. They're making the right pass. They understand a good shot. They understand time and score. So, I mean, that's just – and then the first time they face adversity, because adversity will make them stronger if they deal with it. Adversity will tear them apart if they you know, kind of start to point fingers. So, you know, I think that's going to be the big challenge. But, look, like, so for the people that were tweeting you, I'll repeat it again. I said I thought he's done an incredible job. I thought his staff's done a great job. As I said in that interview right after the firing, I said that he was Memphis basketball and that he would own Memphis. And the first three guys he signed were all Memphis guys, so I was correct there. And he picked up Boogie Cousins on a bounce. He's picked up Boogie on a bounce back, and he picked up one of those commitments was a Memphis kid that was supposed to go to Kentucky. So I mean, he's done a great job. He's done a great job. They're selling tickets. My biggest problem with Memphis when Penny got the job, when real plain and simple, you have a right to hire and fire whoever you want, but you don't have a right to do it unprofessionally. You have a right to have whomever you want as your coach, but you know what? There's a right and a wrong way to do things. And I thought Memphis handled that in a way that I thought was totally unprofessional. They have a right to fire Tubby Smith. They don't have a right to embarrass him.
Interesting. I'm going to leave it at that just because it's a divisive topic here in Memphis. I mean, the bottom line is just it's worked out great for Memphis.
Great. Hey, look, it's been great.
And Tubby ended up getting a job somewhere
else. They're down an athletic director. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you before, because I'm a Michigan alum, I got to ask you, what do you think about the Juwan Howard?
I think Penny helped Juwan, to be honest with you. But I think that there's a difference. You see, you know, I look at, you know, some of the guys that do what I do look at this stuff and they stereotype. I have former NBA guys. Juwan Howard, Pat Ewing, Penny are very different than, say, Chris Mullin or when Clyde Drexler got the Houston job or when guys get jobs, because, like, Juwan Howard, he's a professional coach. I mean, he's worked for some of the best coaches that have ever coached the game. When you work in Pat Riley's organization, all right, the culture that you're coming from and understanding culture and understanding hard work and understanding what it takes to be successful is drilled into you every single day. So I think Juwan's going to be great. The thing that I did not like, and I mentioned my guy Jay Will, said they need to get back to their culture. No, it wasn't a program in the country that had much better culture than Michigan. Two Final Fours, four Big Ten championships, graduated dudes. No one ever got in trouble, played hard as could be, played good basketball, made shots, fun to watch. They don't have to get back to their culture. They got to maintain the culture they have, and then he's going to coach them because he's a really good coach. I mean, it's just the way it is. So I think he's going to do a great job.
Talking, of course, with Seth Greenberg here, of course, on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Coach, I wanted to ask you this. Have you ever had a team where you thought the team was going to be good, talent-wise, coming in, and you thought you had a chance to make a run, and it didn't come together? And if you did, were you able to pinpoint what went wrong?
Yeah, it's real simple. The guys didn't trust each other. They got selfish, and they didn't play for the good of the group. Real simple. It is real simple. I had a South Florida team like that. I had two players that my two best players were not on the same page. Meetings and more meetings and team meetings and group meetings. And, like, in the end, if you don't have a shared vision and if you don't have everyone pulling in the same direction, when you get into those games, you have to win. You'll beat the teams you're supposed to beat. When you get in those games, you have to win. Well, you got to get a stop. You got to you come out of a timeout and you got to execute and you got to make a play. And you have two guys that aren't on the same page or clicks develop within the team. Those are the games you have to. That's where you find out if your team has a shared vision and has team trust. Not teams you can overwhelm athletically. And that'll be, that's going to be the test for the Memphis team.
Well, Seth, really appreciate you coming on. Maybe we can get College Game Day here to Memphis now that we got this loaded team here in town. And then you can meet your fans.
Oh, they would love me. No doubt. As long as they pick up the tab for dinner, I'll talk to all of them.
I don't know if I'd hold your breath on that.
Yeah.
Well, if not, you'll pick it up. Did you ever pay for those lunches?
Of course. I expensed them to the Washington Post. I didn't actually pay for
journalistic integrity. Come on.
But I expensed them. Yeah, sure. I paid for them.
I'm not sure the food in the caf is as good as...
A pretty good cafeteria. I'm not going to lie. That's one thing Virginia Tech did well. It was a pretty good cafeteria. We're referencing Seth every... What was it?
The
afternoon before every game would have a chalk talk where he would break down his game plan for that night's game, and it was, understood you can't
God, basketball
publish
coaches
it.
Are so much better
well,
than football
it
coaches.
It wasn't exactly, complete game plan. Yeah. I ate off
You dumbed
plates.
It down for us. You dumbed it
we
down
dumbed
for
it,
us.
Yeah, dumbed it down. You can tell the great fans of Memphis you learned basketball by sitting in my office with your boy, with the rest of the scribes.
Yeah, we'll see. They've all gone on to bigger and better things, too, all of them. So,
you're killing it yourself. Congratulations on the show. Good luck on the show, guys, and I'll be glad to come on. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Seth.
All right.
Okay, where to begin?
Oh, man. Well, so here's what I'm going to say. He definitely did not admit he was wrong, even though he was wrong. But I will say people are saying, oh, he's not, he's this, what has Seth done? He gave Penny a lot of credit for what he's done so far on the job.
Yeah, there's two thoughts here. Number one, I love ski pole guys. And what I mean by a ski pole guy, I love a guy that when he's got a take and he believes in it, he gets those ski poles out and he bunkers in.
Listen, I could tell you a million, covering Seth, I covered Seth Greenberg for 2 years. I really loved covering him. He's a great guy. I think he's also, he's just also... he's Seth. He's just a little he's...
Well, he's opinionated.
Yeah, very opinionated. It was, and I just remember there'd be times, I'll never forget, they were perpetually on the bubble and were on the wrong side of the bubble.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, it was my first year covering them. They had just beaten Duke in Virginia Tech when Duke was number one. And Dick Vitale
it was
had
like
gone
a
on...
Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, Dick Vitale had gone on air and be like, you're putting your dancing shoes on, Seth. You're putting your dancing shoes on. And then the very next game at Boston College, and Boston College was terrible, they just laid an egg.
Oh,
and
one
lost
of those good
to
ones.
BC the very next game. And I'm
one
there.
Of those deviled eggs that just really, let that aroma just sift in there.
Well, I'm there, and as Seth's walking off the court, some fans were heckling him, and he yelled back. And I kind of depicted the scene in my story. And the next morning, I get a phone call from Seth just, bleep, bleep, bleep. What the, you know, what are you doing? What are you trying to do to me? Blah, blah, blah. And I go, Seth. He goes, that was off the record. I go, Seth, you did it in
public.
You
it
did
was
it in
the
front
arena.
Of 10,000 people. What do you mean it was off the record? But listen, I've seen Seth do some very selfless things over the years that don't, you know, he was portrayed as this, you know, manic kind of guy on the sideline. But, like, he is a really generous guy and a really thoughtful guy. And I know he has some opinions that Memphis fans, you know, don't agree with. And, you know, he said he thought Tubby Smith was fired unprofessionally. That was, I think, I don't know if I agree with that or not. It was just very public.
I think the bigger problem is, and see if you agree with this. For me, the Tubby Smith hiring, A, was public, so that made it bad. The other problem that I think we can all agree on, there appeared to be a lot of cooks in the kitchen and different opinions. Tom Bowen clearly wanted to, as most athletic directors do, most athletic directors, because they're thinking of, I have to keep hiring coaches, I want to make sure that I'm viewed as someone that gives you a chance. And so oftentimes you'll have an AD that probably errs too much on the side of caution. And then I think it was very obvious that the school, the money people, David Rudd, I think they realize we have a business problem here. And so anytime you have competing interests, I just think it starts getting messy and complicated.
Well, and I just think it was very public. I don't know if that's I don't know how that was avoidable.
He still got $9 million.
$10 million. Almost $10 million, actually.
$10 million.
Honestly, someone pointed out here on Twitter, I should have followed up and asked him why he thought it was unprofessional. That was a rookie radio move by me. But
I was going to, but you were rolling. And then the other thing, though, I know Memphis fans are going to get upset. I do think he has a point up until Precious Achiuwa's committing. He clearly had an established relationship with James Wiseman. He had the relationship with DJ Jeffries. So his statement initially was he will lock up basically not only Memphis kids, but regional kids. The problem is, I think his argument falls apart with Precious Achiuwa. He beat North Carolina for Precious Achiuwa, beats Kansas for Precious Achiuwa. I don't know how you stack up Georgia in there, but Georgia wanted him, and Georgia got multiple five stars in this class. So I do think that's kind of where the argument falls flat, because he didn't have a relationship.
It is what it is. He views, I mean, Seth is out, even though he's on ESPN, he does go out on the AAU circuit. I've seen him over the years since he's finished coaching, and you know he has an opinion about Precious. A lot of evaluators have a different, you know, view Precious in a higher light, and it sounds like Precious really elevated his stock over the last couple months.
I think it started
when he went to the McDonald's and Jordan Classic. He showed people over his senior year that he wasn't just an athlete, that he has developed his skills. But I know, like, some people, like, there are a lot of people who are very upset about this interview, but, like, I like having a differing point of view on there. I don't know about you, Jeffrey, but I think it probably riles up some Memphis fans, but I think it's good for people to hear some other opinions outside the city, because that's what Penny's dealing with. You know, that's when Penny says we want all the smoke. That's what he's talking about.
Penny's dealing with behind the scenes. Penny's dealing with way more than, hey, I didn't think he'd be able to get national kids. Like, Penny's dealing with a lot worse.
I wish Seth had just said, you know what? He showed me this class. He can recruit nationally. I wish he had just said that, but you live and learn, I guess.
See, I go back and forth, because at the end of the day, at my core, I just really respect the guy that doesn't back down on a take.
Yeah. You know, that's what I mean, like, people say, like, they don't want, you know.
He's wrong, but by God.
I mean, there's a reason why
he got that shovel out.
Quickly elevated him into, like, the Digger
television.
Phelps role.
Yes.
You know, like, essentially they moved him into the old Digger Phelps role, and it was really quick. And I think he's good on TV. I think, you know, I thought he was a pretty good coach. You know, he only made one NCAA tournament in 25 years. That's something that's will forever be held against him.
I mean, that's at the end. That's why he's on TV.
Yeah. He was also a two-time ACC Coach of the Year. He's really good at building programs. I think it's important to hear all sorts of views.
In fairness to him,
whether you agree with them or not.
In fairness to him, if the net rating would have existed when he was coaching at Virginia Tech, his 21-14 07-08 team that goes to the tournament. I don't know about the 19-15 tournament or 19-15.
At Virginia Tech there.
He's perpetually on the bubble.
He did a fantastic job in that when Virginia Tech moved from the Big East to ACC, everyone thought they were just going to be doormats, and he turned them into a very respectable ACC program. He just couldn't get them really over the top consistently. That was ultimately his downfall. And quite frankly, if he wanted to be coaching, I think he could be coaching at a lower level right now. Like, he was involved in the ECU coaching search last year, but decided to stay on TV because, you know what? TV's a lot less stressful. It pays you a lot of money, and
don't get W's
you get
and
a lot of. I mean, like, he's one of their faces of college basketball, and like I said, this is just what Penny Hardaway's. You know, even though he's gotten this recruiting class, I've written about this in my columns. If you go to commercialappeal.com, like, there's still going to be skeptics out there. You know, there's going to be people until he every step of the way. There are going to be people who question what Penny's doing, and so. You know, so far Penny has basically said, "Okay, fine. I'm gonna go do exactly what you say I can't do."
So you're saying that he's probably not gonna be the next assistant coach at Memphis, right?
I don't think he's gonna be.
I forgot to ask him about Miles Simon.
Miles worked at
ESPN.
Yeah, we should have asked him.
God, I'm an idiot.
It's first week. We'll get better.
Listen, hey, we're big mirror guys. Sometimes you gotta take a good long look in the mirror. We know that's not the case. When we come back, Bill Bender is going to join the program during the next hour. Also, make sure you're listening for your chance to win $1,000 unicorn cash coming up right here during the second hour on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Stick around. You're listening to 99 FM ESPN.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9. Coming up at 3 p.m.
Hey, everybody, it's time for a road trip. And if I said who wants to drive an all-new Silverado or an all-new Blazer, how many hands are going to go up? Can't be just mine. And that's why you have to be with me right now at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Not only do they have the best deals, they have the best testing ground in the Mid-South to drive all-new Chevys on highways, on back roads, maybe even off-road. So crank the music up, play off all the new gadgets, and see why All-Star Chevys have all the awards. And they have all the awards, people. Not only that, the Chevy sell-down deals at All-Star in May are spot on. Lots of 0 for 72 financing with GM Financial on Silverado, Equinox, and more. Or get in on the discounts and cash that drop the new Silverado prices as much as $12,000 off MSRP. And huge military discounts for those who serve our great country. It's an easy drive from Collierville, Memphis, or anywhere in Mississippi. So find new roads to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch or go check out their complete inventory at allstarautogroup.com.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's summertime, and once again, I'm here to invite you to exceptional service. With our 5-star reputation, we can take care of all your termite and pest control needs all summer long. Give us a call at 388-0852, that's 388-0852, and find out what your friends and neighbors are talking about. Or you can check us out online at inman-murphy.com, that's inman-murphy.com.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and auto pay offer in 6/21/19. Restrictions apply to business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I am often asked, what is the value of my case? The answer, of course, depends on your injuries, liability, and the damages to you financially. And it also very much depends on the law firm you hire to represent you. Many times, firms are hired without much thought or research. All firms are not the same, not even close. I know of firms and lawyers who haven't tried a case in years, maybe never. The insurance company knows who they are, too. Some lawyers need the money more than you do. Go to ForThePeople.com and look at our verdicts in court. Here you will see injuries just like yours. You will see what the insurance company offered and, more importantly, what a jury decided. You will have an idea what your case may be worth in our hands. And just because you've already hired a lawyer doesn't mean you can't fire them before it's too late. Happens all the time. For over 30 years, Morgan & Morgan has been here at your time of need. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. On your cell, dial pound law, pound law. That's all.
Let's up your life with Let's.
It's time to be the talk of the neighborhood or lake house with that custom golf cart built by the experts at Let's. With both new and used.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.